now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. What's going on out there, man? How you been? Yeah, I feel like it's been a minute since we actually got a chance to talk, because last week I hit you with the conversation that I had a chance to have with one Mr. Sam Crenshaw. And I wanted to post that because Sam, if you know Sam Crenshaw, he's a great guy and he's full of stories that are just fascinating. And he told a few as in our conversation. And I wanted you to get a chance to hear some of the things that he was talking about. Plus, he's very knowledgeable in the tennis world. So having him on to talk about Naomi Osaka was very important to me to get his conversation. And naturally, when two guys get together, you know, conversation drifts over to football, over to basketball, and things like that. So I thought it was a great conversation. I appreciate you for tuning in. But I feel like I haven't talked to you guys. So, what's up? Yeah, well, we've got a lot of things to talk about. One, we got to talk about some of these NBA playoffs. Yeah, it's going down. It's getting crucial out here. It's the semis. You know, it's the conference semifinals. And, you know, it's getting real tight out here for a bunch of teams. We got to talk about NFL minicamp. Well, not really. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about NFL minicamp, but I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to break down who's in camp, who's not in camp. There are people that will do that for you. I am not one of them, because it's way too early to sit here and talk about an NFL roster. You know, we've got about 90 days or so until we play a real game, and I'll wait till we get to that point before we actually start talking about who's going to be on the field, who's getting cut, and who is going to have a starting spot. Because, you know, that's what's going on right now at minicamp. They're trying to see what these draft picks look like. They're trying to see what some of these free agents look like, how they're going to fit in, how you're going to learn the offense, and move on from there. So, yeah, but we'll touch on some of that. So, you know, I'll have some NBA news. I'll have some NFL news. And then, like I said, we'll talk about these playoffs. Yo, I listen, man, it's that time of year. Like, I have a bunch of ideas going on in my mind. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach out to my good people at 323 Customs. And what we're going to do is we're going to have some Commissioner Gordon shirts. So if you'd like a Commissioner Gordon shirt, you know, holler at me. You know how to get in touch with me, especially if you know on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. Or you can get in touch with my people at 323 Custom Apparel. And you can find them at 323_custom_apparel. I'm going to start a line of Commissioner Gordon shirts. We're going to have a line of DJ Reese Boogie shirts. We're going to have those things fresh for the summer. So if you like to show up and show some love and support for some of your favorite guys, we encourage you to hit us up. So you can find Reese at This Is DJ Reese Boogie. You can check me out at the.commissioner.gordon. And then you can check out 323 Custom Apparel at 323_custom_apparel, and they're going to hook us up with the clothing line. They're also going to hook you up with the clothing line if you have any ideas. So what you need to do is hit them up at 323_custom_apparel and let them know what you're thinking about. So 323 Custom Apparel, make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, just some quick notes while we look at the NFL. I just want to touch on it really quick. Like I said, Minicamp has started up, and you know, once they have the thing out, Aaron Rodgers is not at Green Bay Minicamp. Big surprise, not a big deal. Once again, he can fuss, he can do all the things that he want and be angry, but Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, is going to be a Green Bay Packer. And for as much as he said that he wanted to be traded, they're not going to trade him. They're going to please him. And probably the only way to please him may wind up being getting rid of the GM. I don't know if they're going to totally get rid of the GM, but they may come to some sort of compromise where Aaron Rodgers is going to have a say-so for the next couple seasons on, you know, personnel in terms of maybe draft picks, maybe free agents. He is going to be a consultant of sorts. And they're going to make him feel like he's a big deal in terms of Green Bay, because he is a big deal. And for what we've heard about Jordan Love, they know that Jordan Love isn't ready to take them to where they want to be, especially seeing how Aaron Rodgers was the MVP. You're not ready to have that walk out of your door, and especially, you know, you got Jordan Love, who's sitting here shaky at best. So for all those people talking about Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers not being there, relax. He'll be there.
Commissioner Gordon.
Speaking of not being there, it finally happened. When I say we, I mean the Atlanta Falcons, in case you don't know. The Atlanta Falcons have traded Julio Jones. They traded Julio Jones to the Tennessee Titans. And we all knew it was coming. We all knew it was happening. It seemed like what was a quick couple weeks. You know, it was like, okay, we heard a rumor here or there. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's on Shannon and Skip and Shannon, whatever you want to call it, Undisputed. He's on their show telling everybody on national TV how he's out of here. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, oh, okay, here it go. And then all of these rumors come out about how he's angry. He doesn't like, he think Matt Ryan has lost his little steam on the fastball, so to speak, like he can't get the ball downfield. And, you know, and once again, that's something that Falcons fans have been screaming for a while. But out of all the things, Matt Ryan is still able to produce at a pretty high level. He's not a quarterback that's going to lose a lot of games. The Falcons didn't lose a lot of games last season because of Matt Ryan. Let's just put it that way. So to point that out and say that that's one of the reasons why you wanted to leave is basically just being petty and being picky. But you know me, I'm all here for the picky and pettiness. So let's go and get petty. Let's go and get petty. I'm sorry. As the trade happened, or right after the trade happened, I think it came out on Monday, on June 7th, Albert Breer of Monday Morning Quarterback basically came out with an article of which he kind of broke down the timeline of the Julio trade. And according to this, you know, he's been threatening or demanding a trade damn near since 2019. Yeah, the same 2019 where he was asking for a 3-year contract worth $66 million while having 2 years still left on the current contract that he was under. Yeah, I know we've gone through this before, but like I said, this article kind of broke it down. And so really quickly, I'm not going to go through the entire article, but really quickly, I'll go through this with you. But he signed a deal in 2015, right? And the article basically tells you what I told you before, but it goes into more detail. And it just basically diagrams every time Julio asked for a bump in pay, or as they like to call it, a market correction. Yeah, I did the air quotes with the market correction. But he asked for a market correction, meaning he wanted to be paid higher than whatever wide receiver he thought was better than him or got paid more than him. He asked for this market correction after the 2017 season. Yes, he had just signed a deal in 2015, but in 2017, he asked for a market correction. He also asked for a market correction in 2018. And then, after he got that market correction in 2018, they gave him that money. They also were basically held on a rope, basically a promise that they were going to do a new deal in 2019. So that was the reason for the holdout in 2019, because Julio is saying, you promised me a new deal. Even though I have 2 years left on my current deal, you promised me a new deal. But at the end of 2019, he wound up with the whole 3 years, $66 million. And here we are where I think he still has 2 years left on the deal. And I mean, he's out of here now, so I'm not really tripping. But I just wish, you know, we would have got something more for him. A second and a fourth seems like, you know, we kind of gave him away to Tennessee. We kind of gave him away. And but that happens. That happens when you go on TV, like I said earlier, and you declare that you're out of here. It kind of ruins the team's leverage. Because if I'm on the line with the Atlanta Falcons and I'm offering a first round pick, or I'm offering multiple picks for Julio Jones, and I hear on a television show, and whether he knew or not that he was live on television, I really don't care. But if I hear on a television show, nah, man, I'm out of there. Oh, well, guess what? I'm going to short you a little bit on this deal. We're going to do some negotiating. And it's not going to be favorable for you. I don't know if you've ever been in one of these markets where you can kind of negotiate your price, whether it's for food or for fruit or clothing or bracelets or anything like that. Some of these markets where, you know, you can kind of talk them down. But that's what would be going on if I were there. Because now I'm taking that first round pick off the table. Because he clearly doesn't want to play for you. Your leverage is over. And that's essentially what happened to in my opinion. Now, Albert Breer breaks down the way of the deal in terms of how it's constructed with Tennessee and how it came to be and who were some of the players in that article. And I direct you to go look at it and check it out. It's pretty good. He also has a couple other things in that article. But he broke it down. And, yeah, man, Julio is now a Tennessee Titan. He gets to join his good friend, Derrick Henry. I think they work out together. They played at Alabama. You know, they are all the Crimson Tide alumni or Crimson Tide players. I don't know what they call themselves. Because, you know, Miami, they always call themselves the U. You know, whether you graduated or not, you were part of the U. I don't know what Alabama calls themselves. And I really don't give a damn at this point, because it really doesn't concern me, because Julio is not here. So, like I said, Julio's a Tennessee Titan. All I have to say is goodbye, Julio, and good luck.
Commissioner Gordon.
Keeping it in the theme of players trying to get out of town, according to Kareem Jackson, man, he was on a podcast with Aqib Talib, and he was talking about Deshaun Watson. He basically said Deshaun Watson wants to be a Denver Bronco. And personally, I mean, it's not a bad look. I mean, it's not a bad organization. But I think that's a better deal for the Denver Broncos than it is for Deshaun Watson. I mean, not to say that Denver's a terrible team, but
I just think that they come up in this whole deal. If you get Deshaun Watson, it ain't that he came up. But I think it's the point of, basically, he is trying to get out of town. He's trying to get out of Houston, and he don't give a damn where it is. And I think some of this stuff is put on pause because he has to wait to see when his civil suits get settled. And currently, from what I'm hearing, there's, if nothing happens between now and then, there's a trial set for May 2022. So next May, he would go to court and he would, you know, have this opportunity to face off with these young ladies who have said that he has done wrong by them. But I will also say and remind you that the Houston police, I'm not sure about California, but I know the Houston police have looked into the matter. And as of today, as of right now, there has not been any criminal charges pressed against Deshaun Watson. That is very important. Very important before people go and start to cast judgment on this young man. These are civil suits, meaning these are people who have gone out and said that this man has wronged them in some type of way. And all they need to do is possibly prove that he made them feel uncomfortable, and they'll get some money. They might not get the money that they're asking for, but 9 times out of 10, they're going to get some money, and that's going to be what gets settled in court, not whether he's going to jail. It'll wind up being how much is he going to have to pay them. But like I said, I think all of that is going to be on hold up until the time where he either A, says, I'm settling out of court and here, take this amount of money, or he goes to court and tries to prove himself innocent of the things that they said that he has done. But once again, like I said, he is trying to get out of Houston. He was trying to get out of Houston before these things took place. So I've heard also he's been linked to some trade rumors or to had some interest in going to the Miami Dolphins. I've heard rumors about the Philadelphia Eagles. They're not sold on what they have in the current locker room. So I've heard about them. But like I said, we won't know. It might be a while from now. But all we can do is stay tuned and, you know, see what's going on and let the truth shake out. Moving on over to the NBA. The NBA basically handed out their MVP. And I told y'all, I mean, it wasn't no secret. I wasn't the only one to tell y'all. It wasn't like I was, you know, breaking news or anything. But I told y'all that the Denver Nuggets big man, Nikola Jokic, would be the NBA MVP. And he was. Like, I think the Joker is a dope individual. I think he's a great player. If you've watched the games, like, they're underperforming right now. But he's doing his thing. He's proven that he's the MVP by getting them to the second round, losing Jamal Murray. You know, they just running up into a buzzsaw. Chris Paul, he got these guys working, man. Chris Paul, like, is the ultimate winner. Or he's the ultimate leader. I won't say the ultimate winner because he's yet to win the championship. He's not a loser because he hasn't won a championship, but he's yet to win the championship. So I can't call him the ultimate winner. Michael Jordan was the ultimate winner. Chris Paul, though, I can say he's earned the moniker of the point guard that everybody's put on him. Point guard. That's Chris Paul. That's CP3. But back to the Joker. I'll be honest with you. In my personal opinion, Nikola Jokic is Larry Bird Jr. What are they calling him? Baby Bird, all that stuff they're trying to do. He's more like Larry Bird than Luka Doncic. I think a lot of y'all are maybe too young to remember how Larry Bird actually played. He actually played more like the Joker than he did like Luka. Luka's way more athletic than Larry Bird was. And he handles the ball a whole lot more than Larry Bird did. Like, find me the video of Larry Bird crossing somebody up and taking a step back three. You know, but you guys want Luka to be an icon so bad that you are willing to put another icon on him, put another icon's tag on him. And I'm sure Larry Bird ain't disputing it because he like, y'all think I was that? Okay, yeah, I take that. Baby Bird or Bird Jr., whatever you want to be called. Yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah, I was that. He wasn't that. He played more like the Joker. Watch the film. Go back, pull up an old Boston Celtics game, pull up some old Celtics highlights, and I promise you, you'll see more of the Joker than you will see of Luka. But congrats to the Joker for winning the NBA MVP. The Indiana Pacers fired their head coach after one season. Yeah, Coach Nate, yeah, he was fired. Actually, and the funny thing is, he was hired to replace Nate McMillan and then fired after a season. Do you believe what the Atlanta Hawks are doing under Coach Nate McMillan had something to do with this? I do. Because I believe they looked at Nate McMillan and they see what the Hawks are doing up under him. They saw the turnaround that happened once he took over the reins. And they looked at what they had and they thought they had a pretty decent team. They thought they had a playoff team. And then they didn't make the playoffs. In fact, they were beat by the Washington Wizards to grab that eighth seed in the play-in tournament. I don't think they thought they would be in that position. So in that, you know, I think they looked at their situation. They looked at where they were going. They looked at what Nate McMillan was going on, has going on. And, you know, they relieved him of his services. Miami Heat president Pat Riley was in a little hot water. He got a little fine, man. They hit him with a 25 stack fine. They said he was tampering, but it wasn't really tampering in my opinion. But they said he was tampering about his comments about LeBron James. And he stated the obvious, like what anybody would say, without going through his entire comments on what he was talking about in his quotes. Pat Riley basically just said he would welcome LeBron back to Miami. And like I said, two things about that. One, we already knew you'd welcome him back with open arms. And two, LeBron ain't coming back to Miami for a variety of reasons. We know he's not coming back to Miami. The stories have been out there about how you wouldn't let him basically run the shop. So he's not coming back to Miami. And we know, based off of what you have going on right now with Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, you would love to have LeBron back. We know that. He ain't coming back, though. But saying that is tampering, apparently. And the league fined Pat Riley $25,000. Speaking of LeBron James, it came out today that LeBron had planned on changing his number from 23 to 6. Why? I don't know. Like, it could be an effort to, you know, get some more money in jersey sales. Usually, a lot of times, that's what's happening. But LeBron wore six. You know, he wore six in Miami. He wore six whenever they would play internationally when he played for the United States team. He was number six. And I believe, and this is part of the thing that I believe, he's also wearing number six in the new upcoming Space Jam movie. Yeah, I'm rolling my eyes too. But he's wearing six in Space Jam. He wants to wear six now. I think part of it is for all of the reasons that I'm going to mention. Like I said, I think part of it is for sales. I think part of it is kind of to wash away the disgust from this season. Like, let's be honest. LeBron James has been with the Lakers, what, 3 years, three seasons? It ain't but one of them that's been good. And that was the bubble. They didn't make the playoffs his first year. Then they went to the bubble. They won the championship. And then this year only leaves memories of him walking off the court in front of his team to go get extra treatment. Once again, with the air quotes, extra treatment. No. So I think this is an effort to kind of have a new beginning. And I don't know if in his mind that one championship means that you can retire 23 as a Laker, but it doesn't. So I'm hoping that he doesn't think that he can retire 23 whenever he retires. And then also the Los Angeles Lakers will hang up the number six in the rafters. Why would he think that? Well, the Lakers retired Kobe's number eight, and they retired Kobe's number 24. And if you know LeBron, you know he likes to compare himself to the greats. You know he likes to think of himself as one of the GOATs. So what better way to possibly compare yourself to Kobe than to say, I got two numbers in the rafters too? But that's going to require him to win a few championships as number six. Because what's not happening is he's not throwing on a number six and turning into LeBron in Miami. Those days are over. That was years ago. Years ago. So he can't erase the clock, man. I don't know what to tell him, but it's interesting to see how this is going to play out. But I suspect there'll be, you know, Lakers fans, there'll be LeBron fans, there'll be just people who are pop culture fans who are going to gravitate and purchase the jersey just because it's LeBron and he has a strong following. But I don't see the reason for it. I don't. Yeah, he was Space Jam, Olympics, Miami, all of that stuff. Yeah, that's cool. That's one thing. But what you need to focus on is getting your rest. You need to focus on training. You need to focus on getting healthy. You need to focus on getting a group of guys around you that are going to complement your game, because these guys that you have around you right now aren't it. KCP ain't it. You got to get Kyle Kuzma out of there. He's not it. He may be a good player. He may go and thrive someplace else. But for whatever reason, he's not growing to his maximum potential in Los Angeles playing with LeBron James. You're going to have to get some different guys. I'll say for another podcast where I think they should go, who they should look for, and who they should try to pinpoint. But what you have to do, if you're going to lock in with LeBron and Anthony Davis, you're going to have to get some guys that complement them. You're going to need some shooters. And you're also going to need some guys who can create a basket for themselves. That means somebody who can either move around and get this pass and catch and shoot, or somebody who can get the ball and create a shot for themselves off the dribble. But what needs to happen is LeBron needs to focus on that and not focus on what damn number he's wearing. So the second round is underway of the NBA playoffs. We're in the conference semifinals. And there were some good matchups in the first round, and I think we went through it before. I'm not sure if I gave y'all the I told y'all, my bad, about, you know, my predictions of what was going to happen in the first round. So I won't go into that this time, but trust and believe that we'll get there. But I'll start locally here at home. Atlanta is matched up with Philly. And it's a 1-1 tie. And it's crazy because I think this is a hell of a matchup. This, if you've watched this entire series so far, these last two games, what you'll see is a bunch of runs. You know, in game one, Atlanta jumped out and had like a crazy run, like 28-6. And Philly was unable to really cut it down until they called out the goon squad and attacked and blitzed Trey and blitzed everybody else and attacked. And the referees allowed them to basically, you know, play a little football out there in game one and get back into the game, to the point where they scared everyone in the city of Atlanta that possibly thought that they could come back. And thank God Bogey hit that three and kind of shushed the crowd a little bit. And, you know, we pulled that one out. Game two has a similar theme to me in the fact that they are just letting Joel Embiid do what the hell he wants to do. I am watching this man push people out of the way on his way to the basket, and no one is saying a damn word. No one is saying anything. But the referees are allowing it. Nate McMillan has pretty much told the team at the beginning of the New York Knicks series that we weren't going to get any calls. He might need to reiterate that to the team. Stop looking for the officials. But some positivity for Atlanta Hawks fans is that in game two, the Atlanta Hawks played terribly. Terribly. And they were still in the game. Like, the score indicates that it might have been a little worse than what it was, but, and that's because it got away from them at the end. But they were still in the game after shooting terribly. Trey shot terribly. John Collins ain't did shit. You know, there's a lot you can go and pinpoint turnovers. They played terribly. And they were in the game. So if I'm going to pick and say what I'm going to think that this is how this is going to shape up, I believe that the Atlanta Hawks will win this in seven. You know what? I can't say in seven, because if it goes to seven games and it goes to Philly, yeah, then they're going to let Joel Embiid play bully ball. And it'll be Philly's game to win. So I got to pick the Hawks in six. See what I'm saying? Hawks in six, because that'll be back here in Atlanta. Looking out west, we talked a little earlier about Nikola Jokic and him winning the MVP. Now, while it's good for him, it may not be good for the team, because I think Chris Paul might have believed that he was deserving, maybe not of the award. I think he believed he deserves the award. So you look across and this dude is getting the MVP and it's all on television. And what better way to show that he shouldn't be the MVP, that you are the MVP, is you going out there and you busting their ass and you encouraging booked to go out there and bust their ass. And y'all out here killing. And DeAndre Ayton is out here killing. And he's holding his own against the MVP. And that's what's happening. Right now, the Denver Nuggets are down 2-0 to the Phoenix Suns. And it's looking like it might be a wrap for the Nuggets. Shouts out to Nikola Jokic. Shouts out to Michael Porter Jr. But this might be, as Boys to Men would say, the end of the road. So if I'm going to make a prediction in this one, I'll say, I'll give him a game, a gentleman's sweep. Phoenix wins in five. Now, bringing it back out east, I don't even know if the Brooklyn Nets will even be gentlemanly about this. Like, I have seen nothing that the Milwaukee Bucks have done that has been positive. Nothing at all. Like, and James Harden got hurt in the first minute of the game of the first series. Like, James Harden got hurt in the first minute, game one. And all Brooklyn did was go out here and kill Giannis Antetokounmpo and kill Chris Middleton and kill all of these dudes. Giannis doesn't have the answer. Giannis has to find, and I got a few friends of mine, we talk about this all the time, especially with LeBron. LeBron doesn't really have a signature move outside of that freight train down the middle of the lane, and I'm going to dunk on you because I'm big, I'm strong, and I'm fast. But when you take that away, what does LeBron do? Right? So I say that in the same thing with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis doesn't really have a signature move. If you are able to take away that him taking those dribbles, getting to about the elbow, he spins, takes a step, and flushes. If you're able to take that away, he doesn't have a go-to move. He's a 7 feet tall guy, but he doesn't have a post move. He doesn't have a fadeaway. He doesn't shoot well enough from the three-point line that you need to respect it. He doesn't shoot well enough from the free throw line that you should respect it. So if you cut off the paint, what is he going to do? And I say this all the time, Chris Middleton is a good basketball player, but Chris Middleton is also very streaky. So Chris Middleton isn't going to be the one that's going to get you over that hump. Chris Middleton will go out and he'll have 33 one night, and then he'll turn around and he'll have 12. I can't depend on that because I need a consistent play. I need somebody who I can consistently feed the ball to and know that once I give it to him, he's going to score. They don't have that right now. Thus, they've been getting their ass handed to them by the Brooklyn Nets twice now, minus James Harden. And if I'm Brooklyn, I don't play James this entire series because I don't have to. Yes, I know they wanted to get out there. They wanted to get some reps. They wanted to get in shape. But I think it's more important that you let that hamstring heal and you try to get him in shape and you try to get those reps in the Eastern Conference Finals when you meet either the Hawks or the 76ers. That's just my opinion. But once again, prediction time, I will say Brooklyn sweep. The Clippers and the Jazz. Well, I clearly have to go with the Clippers, right? Like I've been telling y'all, I predicted the Clippers to go to the NBA Finals because the West was so wide open, even though now I'm looking across at Phoenix like, damn, y'all really turned it up, huh? But I still think talent for talent that the LA Clippers are better than everyone else that is left. Like, yeah, Utah has some matchups that they exploited last game, and they took, like, Rudy Gobert played some decent defense in the perimeter. He got a key block on one of the Morris brothers. Shooting the three late in the game. Bam. Block the shot. Seal the deal. We win. So he's playing good perimeter defense. You already know that he has the paint on lock. Kawhi Leonard is going to do what Kawhi Leonard does. But once again, like I talked about with Chris Middleton, Paul George needs to show up. Paul George needs to consistently be out here knocking at 30 points every game. There's no excuse for Paul George to be going out here and laying an egg and underwhelming. There's no excuse for it at all. Last game, Paul George came out and he gave you 20 points. Kawhi gave you 23. And they lost by three. But you say, well, shoot, 20 points, you mean? And I said, yes, he should be knocking at 30. And the reason why I say that, he scored 20 points, shooting 4 for 17 from the field. I'll say it again. 4 from 17 from the field. 3 for 8 from the three-point line. I'll excuse that. Okay, 3 of 8 from the three-point line. 4 of 17, though, if you just make 2 more buckets. 6 of 17. You put up 24 points and you probably win the game. So imagine if you're knocking at that 30 like I told you. Kawhi can't do everything. Kawhi is guarding. Kawhi is scoring. Kawhi, he's doing everything. He's passing the ball. Because I think what he wound up with, he only had 3 assists. But he's trying to get everybody involved. He got the rebounds. He got 7 rebounds. You're going to have to play if you're Paul George, if you're playoff P, if you're supposed to be the guy, you're going to have to play like the guy. Otherwise, you're going to just be a guy. A guy who shows up every now and then. A regular season player. A decent player who's not a closer. But I will turn and look at and say, hey, man, at the same time, Donovan Mitchell had a hell of a game. Like, I don't know if you watched it. Donovan Mitchell was pretty much, I think he only had like 2 or 3 points in the first half. Wound up at the end with like 45. Let me check, make sure 45 is right. Yep, 45. And then said at the end of the game he wasn't feeling good. He was kind of sick a little bit. But I don't know if Donovan Mitchell can do that consistently. That's the thing. Consistency is the key. And that's why I say the West is so wide open. Consistency is the key. So if I have to make a prediction, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to say that Utah and the Clippers are going to go 7 games. And Kawhi Leonard is going to get it done. Because just like we saw in the last series against Dallas, when Kawhi says, I'm going to go to work, everybody get on my back, let's go. Cyborg wins. So that's my prediction for that, for these semifinals. And we'll, you know, next week we can check them out. We'll go over all of it and we'll talk about the conference finals and predict on the way to the NBA Finals. So, yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate you for tuning in once again to the Commissioner's Conversation. sticking with your boy. I appreciate you for checking me out. Also, I encourage you to go to YouTube, type in The Commissioner's Conversation, and check out what I have in store for you in terms of some of these interviews. I talk to a bunch of good people, and you get a bunch of good stories, you get a bunch of laughs, you get a bunch of things that you can debate and argue with. Go and check that out. Follow me on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. At G Robinson Sports. Also follow me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. Follow me there and check out all of my stories. Check out all of the posts. I'm trying to give you all the news that's important in real time. And also, check out my sponsors. I didn't shout out my sponsors, my Greenwood Whiskey sponsors. Check them out. Go to your local liquor store. Go to your local restaurant. Go to your local watering hole and tell them that you want some Greenwood Whiskey. And have them stock the shelves with Greenwood Whiskey. And then tell your friends to go and buy the Greenwood Whiskey. And guess what? Greenwood Whiskey has a brand new look. They just remodeled the bottle. Yep, they just remodeled the bottle. But it's a brand new bottle, but it's the same smooth taste. So go out, get you some Greenwood Whiskey, and celebrate. Celebrate the summer. Celebrate life. Celebrate your loved ones. Greenwood Whiskey is celebration whiskey. Again, I thank you for listening to me. I thank my producer, my engineer, my beat maker, all of the above, DJ Reese Boogie. I appreciate you, sir. Thank you, and thank you for tuning in. Until next week, I'll holler.